We're going to start chapter 3 today. We're going to talk about relative motion. So thus far, and most likely in your career, dynamics career, you've probably worked on systems where velocities, position, acceleration are described to a fixed frame or within a single frame that is most likely fixed. But coordinate frames, push this. Coordinate frames can be moving, and it can be convenient to describe the system in combinations of frames. And we talked about how the one way to relate frames to another, one another last week.
I do have a question. Yep. As I was reviewing notes from last week, I'm talking about the osculating plane.
Mm-hmm.
So does that also travel along the path?
Yes, so that's moving as well.
Okay.
Yep.
But this is in a wider...
Yeah, so what we're going to do, what this chapter is largely about is generalizing that last example we worked, where we we lined up the velocities. There's kind of a formalized method we're going to get to some parts of it today and over the next couple lectures. Okay, so generally we'll describe, we can describe the position of some point or a point on a rigid body with respect to some kind of fixed coordinate frame, and quite often we'll use capital letters to indicate that it's a fixed inertial frame. And we might have, let's draw a point out here somewhere, point P. And we want to write the position of that point. Well, we may have some trouble directly relating that back to the origin of that fixed frame, which we will generally call O. But there may be some intermediate frame where it's easy for us to describe it. Common example of this is maybe a linkage, right? So I know the elbow relative to the shoulder, I know the hand, the wrist relative to the elbow, I know the finger relative to the wrist, right? So rather than trying to write this vector, I can write just the sum of those to get me there, right? And each one of those frames, if that frame is fixed to my lower arm, that frame will move according to this angle, right? So this is where it will come up quite often. Let's look at the easy case first, where we have some frame like this. And let's call that, in this case, x prime prime z prime. Okay. And we can write the position of that particle P. Let's expect this origin is O prime to match the notation. So we can write, say we can write this vector pretty easily for whatever reason, R of P relative to O prime. And then we can write this one as well, R of O prime relative to O. And I just have the gap to prevent writing over X prime. Okay. So then what is position of point P relative to the origin of the fixed frame?
Just
the sum of those two vectors. So we go from O to O prime, O prime to P. Okay. Let's consider first that this frame can be moving. All right, so big one's fixed. Capital XYZ is an inertial frame. Newtonian frame is fixed. So this is a spaceship. And we have some point aboard the spaceship. So we know our spaceship's location relative to the origin of the universe or whatever. And we know our position on our spaceship. We can write our position relative to the origin of the universe by adding those two vectors.
So you say the position of the spaceship is R O prime?
Yes. Relative to this fixed frame, whatever it happens to be. So let's say for now x prime, y prime, z prime is only translating. Okay. So this guy's not rotated, so what that means is the direction of z prime is always in capital Z, that direction of y prime is always in capital Y, direction of x prime is always in capital X. Okay. Another way to write that is to equate the unit vectors in each of those axes. This is the same saying that those directions. And those are primes for our prime vectors. So the direction of those two frames is always the same, even though one could be moving relative to the other. So if we're using that here, well, we could write this first quantity is x. Okay, and maybe we could say, hey, this is O prime. Position of O prime within that frame, we can write the position of the particle in the smaller frame. Well, we know that this second term we can just write, because those vectors are unit vectors are pointing in the same direction, we can easily write it in terms of the directions in the bigger frame as well. So we get the sum, we just add up directions, this is totally easy. That should all make some sense, hopefully. How often are we going to have only translating frames? Not often. This is probably the only one we're going to look at. So let's look back now. Let's look at one that's rotating. So I'm going to get rid of this guy. Keep that. Get rid of that. You can look at rotational transformations. Section 3.1.1 to start out with. So we have our still same fixed frame. We're going to start there quite often. Let's look at a rotation. The rotation we're going to look at is in the positive capital X direction. Right, so we're always going to use right-hand rule angles. Right, so put your thumb along the axis, positive, we'll call it theta X, above that axis. And we're going to get a new frame. That we'll just call lowercase x in this case. That's what we want to do. Oh, we're going to do prime. We'll match the notes. Okay. So if we're just rotating about this x axis, hey, x and x prime are still always going to be aligned. Right. But we're going to have a z prime. That's there. Y prime that's there. Both rotated. X. Okay. What we'd like to be able to do is generalize this rotation so that we can always write the relationship between I prime, J prime, K prime, and capital I, capital J, capital K. Okay. So what we want to be able to do is this. Be able to write some matrix, some operation, we'll find out that it is a matrix, R that relates these two frames. Okay. But we'll also find, and we're going to work through kind of why this works in a second, that we can go the other way if we want. And it works out that it's just the transpose. The book has number of pages on the math, looking at just this general case, defining some generic rotation matrix. That's what this R is going to be called. We'll see. And looking at why just the transpose gets you back and forth. It has to do with some interesting properties of this matrix, so I recommend you look at that, understand that section as well. We're going to look at just the kind of most common cases that we're going to use. So let's look at some common cases. So, we can start right here, actually. So if I want to write I prime in terms of capital IJK, what is it? Okay, well, just ignore this for a second. If I'm just writing that in terms of what I have going on here, where is I prime always aligned with? Capital X. Right. So that guy is that guy. Lines right away. Okay. Where's J prime? In terms of capital IJK. Do I have any component in capital I? Okay. I have any component in capital J. Cool. What do I have there? Yeah. K on the last one, sorry. Just doing geometry. Well, I'm going to write this as some kind of matrix form. Have to pick off the terms from those three equations. Well, I know I is just I, no contribution from the other two. We could call that Rx, or sometimes we call it R theta x if we have multiple rotations around multiple x axes. You have those called rotation matrices. And in this case, rotation around I prime. Those are aligned, so you can describe it around either one. Okay. If you have a rotations, you have some kind of frame moving from one to the other, simple rotation, and it's about that I axis, the x axis, this is always your rotation matrix. Remember that. If you're rotating about x. Okay. If you're rotating about y, so if you had a similar situation about y, you're going to find an ry. And probably a good exercise for you if you want to help yourself know where these come from is to work through this same exercise in y. Right. We're not going to do that. So there's a rotation matrix about y-axis. one about a z-axis. Simple rotations about those axes. This one holds. If I look at these axes, and we can look at our one example we had the figure up here for, and say I'm rotating about a negative theta x. So instead of rotating this way, I'm going that way. So we can write maybe, alright, that's going to describe that rotation from no matter what theta x is. So, hey, we want to do negative now. All right. What does that look like over here? What's 1's still going to be 1, 0's are still going to be 0's. Right. Cosine of minus theta x is what? Compared to this. It's the same, right? Okay, cosine of sine of minus theta x. Right. That's right. We can write it out, and then maybe it'll be obvious. 1, 0, 0. Cosine of minus theta x is still theta x. Sine of minus theta x is minus sine of theta x. Right. 0 is still 0. We have minus minus, so that ends up being a plus. What does that look like with relationship to Rx, actually?
Transpose?
Yeah, just the transpose. Okay. And the same holds true for the other rotation matrices. The way this comes up in rotation matrices is that, hey, if I want to go from y prime, back to my original fixed reference frame, I just need to transpose. It's a minus theta x to get there. You guys seeing that? Yes? No? Okay. So there's kind of the quick geometrical reason. There's more thorough mathematical proofs if you want to check them out. But that should help you with some intuition about why this transpose gets you the kind of inverse transformation, if you will. Okay. Simple rotations. So we're calling these simple rotations. We mean there's just one rotation about that axis. Okay. Well, we're going to have systems that rotate by more than one angle. Right. If I have my shoulder, I can rotate up this way, I can rotate this way, my elbow can rotate, I can extend. Right. So we're going to have series of rotations to describe mechanisms. How do we deal with those? There's two primary types we're going to look at, body-fixed coordinates and space-fixed coordinates, or space-fixed, body-fixed rotations, space-fixed rotations. So let's look at those. And we'll start with body fix, because they're the easier to kind of reason about, I think. They're just going to be built upon these rotation matrices. Body fixed rotations. And they're going to be called body fixed because you're rotating about some axis that's kind of fixed in the body. So you can imagine I have, I'll use this one, some kind of body, and it rotates this way. I'm going to rotate around an axis that is fixed in the body for the next rotation too. Right? So I rotate this way, and then I might rotate around this guy that way. So it's fixed in the body always. Okay. Body fixed. So let's look at a simple one. Okay. So we're going to look at two steps. Step one, the one we've already talked through. And then we're going to have a second step, second rotation. In this case, we're going to go from Z prime. So let's try to match angles if we can a little bit. Prime, Z prime, Y prime. We're going to rotate by theta z. Oops, I'm going to do that blue. Theta z about that z prime. Okay. And that's going to give we'll call it lowercase xyz. So these guys just rotated that. And what I want to be able to describe is the relationship between my fixed frame, capital XYZ, and my final frame, in this case, after these two rotations, lowercase XYZ. Well, the first one we saw, let's look at step one first. So I can write, well, hey, x prime is just that. Right. And we saw that matrix I'm just using C and S for sine and cosine. Cosine, sine, sorry. Save us a little space there. Okay. Well, the second one, hey, that's just a simple rotation too, right, between the prime and lowercase x, y, z axis. Right? So the two, rotation two, I know pretty easily, lowercase I, j, k, well, that's just a rotation about z. From the I prime, j prime, k prime. Okay. What does our z look like? Just as a quick practice. I just wrote it up, I know. JK up here. Just that. All right, so just a simple rotation about that z-axis, positive theta z. So this is just that standard form of that RZ matrix, rotation matrix about that z-axis. With me so far. Two simple rotations. Okay. So let's look at the combination of those. So we want basically 1 plus 2. Those two rotations. And what we want, I, J, R something, we want to know what capital R is. Total rotation matrix describing this series of body fixed rotations. Okay. Well, we know that's just IJK is that. Right? We know those primes. We can do this. I'm just drew those parentheses to keep it separated in mind. Right? This is just that prime. These two guys are equal. So there we go. Okay. And this pattern will hold for n body fixed rotations, where you pre-multiply by each rotation. Okay, so we did Rx first, and then we did Rz. So we pre-multiply by that simple rotation vector. If we had n more, it continues out in time, if they're body fixed. Okay, so if we had another rotation about y, we'd have an Ry and some stuff.
So you can compute Rz, Rx before you do Rx by Ij?
Yeah, so what's going to happen is really you just figure out what these are.
Oh, okay.
We don't necessarily need to worry about the intermediate steps. Okay. Trying to get you there, some understanding of why you pre-multiply. Okay. That's really what this is about.
Okay.
All
right.
The n there, is that equals or dot?
One equals sine, two equals signs. The
first one right there,
yeah,
third
row
equals sine.
It's an equal.
Okay. And all I'm trying to show there is that those two things in parentheses equal, right? So the I prime, J prime, this is just that.
So are these commutative, or does order matter?
Order matters, right? It's matrix multiplication, order matters. Right? So that's why I was saying you have to pre-multiply in this case by the rotation you're doing. So what that means physically is that the order you do those rotations in matters. And you have to match this R, total rotation matrix, to the order those operations occur in.
I mean, is it different if the rotation happens at the same time? Is that like a different case?
At the same time.
Or is that something that it's not?
You're generally not going to think about things happening in things.
Okay, so you always think about it like in sequence.
Yeah.
Okay,
gotcha. Yeah. Although we will see something that's kind of like that and maybe later today. But strictly speaking, particularly if you're talking kind of positions or coordinate transformations, you start talking velocities, accelerations, it gets a little bit muddier.
Okay.
But displacements, coordinate transformations, there's a sequence that those things happen. So again, for body-fixed rotations, you pre-multiply. So if you have n rotations, you end up with a total rotation matrix. It looks something like that. And you'd have n of these. That still works. So the kind of key there is that you don't have to, if you recognize what your rotations are and you know what axis they're occurring about, that's really easy to figure out and do these coordinate transformations without having to go through all the intermediate, draw all the triangles and whatever. Right. Okay. Body fixed rotations. Questions? Okay, let's look at the other primary case we're going to talk about. This one's harder, it's certainly harder to draw. Okay. And so we're going to have the same first rotation. So we haven't made any rotations yet. Doesn't really matter. Body fixed, space fixed doesn't really have meaning until we start making secondary rotations. So the first rotation is the same, first step is the same. Our second rotation in this case, rather than making it around the new C prime axis, We're going to make a rotation around the original capital Z axis. Okay. So in this case, you can think of our body rotated, and then rather than rotate around this axis, we're still rotating around this one, the original Z axis. And I will attempt to draw that. Okay. So we have... These are space fixed. Because that rotation axis is fixed in space. It didn't rotate with your body. Space fixed rotation. Okay, in this case, basically repeat this guy. Have y prime z prime. Okay, so we have that first rotation. The second rotation is going to get us to a final xyz. And just give me a second and I'll explain it, and you probably can draw it for yourself better than just copying my drawing. Just over there. So this would go. To there. So in this case, we're going to have theta z is about that original capital Z axis. So the tip of this guy spins that way by theta z. This guy by theta z. That's by theta z. And one way to think about these is to think kind of about that wedge, if you will, because right, you're spinning around this axis, right? And same thing here. Theta z describes this angle.
So what? Can you show with your hands what the second rotation
is? Sure. So you go, let's see if I can do this. XYZ.
Yeah.
We have a rotation about x. Rotation about x, and then a rotation about z, the original z.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's why I'm trying to draw this. Like, it's about this original axis. So this guy spins. This x prime is kind of spinning around this guy, this original z, to get to final z. There is a better figure of this in the book. As you might expect, figure 3.5 in the book will be a nice, pretty version of this picture. Although it's still a little bit hard to visualize, which is, like we talked, one of the challenges when you move into 3D and have the art skills of an average engineer. Okay. So step one, we say, hey, that's just the same, right? Well, let's try to reason a little bit about what's going to happen in step two in this case, that second rotation. Excuse me. And I'm going to think about another frame. It's going to help us maybe understand. Done that so far. So I'm still drawing the original frame here. And I'm going to draw one in this case. And we still have that same theta z. Now what I'm looking at, that's a 2. Super rotation gets me from the capital XYZ to X1, X2, Y2, Z2. Well, I know this simple rotation to get x2, y2, z2, which of course we can write the unit vectors in those directions similarly. What's the rotation matrix? Yeah, number one for Z. I know that to be true. And we just have a simple rotation about Z. Okay, well, how does that help us? Well, if I think about how this X prime, Y prime, Z prime rotates according to theta Z, relative to how X2, Y2, Z2 rotates, can we say anything about that? So I've rotated this guy over and I turn, I have X, Y, Z, and just turn everything about Z. Can we say anything about how X, Y, Z might relate to X2, Y2, Z2? Let's see if I can draw. Okay. So what's going to be the same? Well, this guy's the same. I'm going to have some Z, so explain this. What I'm trying to get to, I'm not going to be able to draw it, I don't think, is that the relative difference, the relative displacement between X2, Y2, Z2, and X, Y, and Z is the same across that rotation. Okay. So it starts out X, Y, Z, and it rotates, or it starts out X prime, Y prime, Z prime, and just rotates. Well, this guy rotated by the exact same operation. The entire frame is rotating for both of those cases. So their relative displacement, their relative difference is the same across that operation. That making a little bit of sense, maybe? Okay. I'm applying this, so let's think about it one more time. I'm applying this theta 2 to everything that's kind of here. Right? So that theta 2 applies to kind of the rotation to X2, Y2, Z2 exactly the same way that it applies for the operation from the prime to the X, Y, Z axes. Okay. So the exact same operation has to result in no relative displacement between those two frames.
So this is theta 2, and that's theta Z.
Theta Z, these are Zs.
Oh, Z.
Yeah. Same angle.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So if that operation is the same, if we know that their kind of relative displacement is the same across the theta Z operation, okay, we can look at what is their relative displacement before that operation? Well, yeah, I know that's really just before that before this rotation happens. Well, I2 is just aligned with capital IJK. I know that to be true. So if I then want to get from small IJK, how do we do that? These are not primes. And then that doesn't hold anymore when you're not a prime. Okay. I'll step through that again now that I just confused everybody. Okay. So the operation. So if you look at these two operations, right? So if I take, I took this guy and I've rotated him to X2, Y2, Z2. At the beginning of that operation, these X2s were aligned with X, Y, Z. So the difference between X, Y, Z in these prime axes, right, are just this first operation, this Rx rotation. Okay. Well, we said, hey, this theta z rotation doesn't change that kind of relative displacement between those two vectors. So if it's Rx before, it has to be kind of Rx after as well. So in this case, I've rotated, I have this theta 2. So theta 2 to x, y, z is this same rotation. Okay. So if I do the kind of chaining of those operations again, we end up with that. So you notice in this case, we did the x first, and then we did the z. So in this case, we're pulse multiplying by each rotation in the order that they occur for space fixed rotations. Let's fix them. So we're going to post multiply by each of those simple rotations in the order which they occur. Okay. And that's going to be true for n space fixed rotations. So n space fixed rotations, the total rotation, the first one, post multiply by the second one, dot, 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 to the last one. That's our total. For n different space fixed rotations. So again, you have kind of simple, if you know these, the matrices for those simple rotations, as long as you can map out the sequence in which the rotations occur, you don't have to do the math for intermediate frames. Right. Or if you do have to do the math, you can just pick off, well, I only need the first two matrices to get from this frame to that. Or I need these middle two to get from some intermediate frame to another intermediate frame. The point being, use the matrix math. Don't go in here and try to draw all kinds of triangles and stuff. Okay, like you probably got used to in undergrad dynamics. The other nice thing about this is computers happen to be really, really good at matrix math. All right, so these operations take zero time to do. So this we can make very computationally efficient coordinate transformations, and then as a result, equations of motion later on. Okay, so that's space fix. So we talk body fix, we talk space fix. For what number of problems do you think you'll have only body fixed or only space fixed rotations? Not so many. It actually turns out that we'll use mostly body fixed rotations, but there will be cases where we need to be able to mix the two. So if you're going to mix the two rotations, how do you think we handle that? Yeah, you're just going to build bigger matrices. So you know, we know for space fixed, we post-multiply. We know for body fixed, we pre-multiply. You just do that in the order in which they occur. You get to a space fixed rotation, you know you have to post-multiply by that one. If your next rotation is body fixed, you know you have to pre-multiply by that. So you just build up the rotation matrix in the order at which those operations occur. All right. It's going to be a general case. What about a rotation about some arbitrary axis? Say I wanted to rotate this system. I get down here, I've done these rotations, and now I want to rotate about axis A, let's say, for some reason. I want to do that.
Instead of like saying you're rotating, like starting there, would you just like figure out how to get there first and then,
No, you're on the right track, actually.
Okay, so like if A is, like, you know, have like theta, you just like get to A first and then do the rotation that you want.
Okay, then what do you have to do after that? Yeah, so how do I get back? How do I undo a rotation? We talked about 15 minutes ago. Yeah, right? So if I want to rotate about some arbitrary axis A in this case, I get, you know, have the system up to that point. I rotate generally a body fixed coordinate to align with that axis. Right? Remember what that rotation is. Do the rotation, and then undo the body fixed rotation I had to make to get to align an axis. And undo that, this rotation, you know that. It's just a transpose of that matrix. So you just rotate to align an axis with whatever you want to rotate about, do the rotation, and then transpose to get back to the original frame. But it's all just matrix stuff.
Right, so clarify that. You transpose just preliminary, right?
Just the one that got you, yeah, just the one that got you from here to there. You do this rotation. And then you undo that to get back to what it would have been. Yeah, the one that undo the one that you rotated to align with that axis. Okay. Body fixed, space fixed, combinations of the two, arbitrary axes. The key to all of this is just kind of do your, the hardest part, I think, is keeping the housekeeping for what order these rotations are occurring and that kind of thing. Right. So I think that the tip there is to just be careful about body fix, space fix, make sure you're getting the ordering right, the kind of housekeeping that those matrix operations occur in. And to, so for those matrices to apply, you have to make sure that you're defining the angles according to the right-hand rule. So if you're rotating the other way, that's a minus theta z if it's going this way. Okay. Questions about rotation matrices? Anybody?
I guess once we get into it, it'll seem more obvious.
Well, so think, I think the difference, right? So in this case, if I rotate it here, it will be easier to figure it out once this has some kind of physics. We're talking about a body that's rotating rather than just axes, right? But there is a physical difference there, right? So in this case, I rotated to here, right? And if it's body fixed, I'm rotating about that z now. Right. Whereas if it's space fixed, I'm rotating not about this axis. I'm rotating not about this axis, but this one. So that is actually a different motion than it would have been if it was just body fixed. That help at all? Right, so if you think about, if this was out here, right, a body fixed rotation about this theta z, that point doesn't move at all.
Yeah, just like.
Right, it's just spinning about that axis. But if it's a space fixed rotation, that point does move. Right, so the motion is different. But you are also right in terms of you can be clever in terms of how you're defining your frames, and sometimes make a space fix into a body fix and change order. And so that's some of the power, actually, as you get used to working with matrices. You could go from one to the other if you're kind of clever about it, just by doing the transpose and undoing rotations and all that kind of stuff. But it does pay to be comfortable with both, because to play those tricks, you need to know the basics of both. All right, I should be able to get through this next section. section. Section 3.2. Section title is displacement. Okay. So we have before a fixed frame, which we're almost always going to have it in our problems. To say that's capital Z. And we have before a frame that we're using to describe a position of point P that was just translated. So let's look at this and use what we just learned about rotations between frames to say maybe we're able to describe point P in that frame. Where it's not just translated from capital X, Y, Z, it's also some rotation there. Right. I do have kind of same vectors as before. Where we have origin of those frames is O prime, O, we'll call that O prime. Okay, so what we want to describe is the position of that particle P with respect to that fixed axis. Okay. And let's just say, hey, we really only know those two vectors. So we know the position of P within this frame, right, which is translated and rotated some from the original frame, and we know the position of the origin of that frame with respect to our inertial frame origin. Okay. So we obviously know this is just the sum of those two vectors. Let's kind of write some this position of O prime relative O. We can write that easily in the capital IJK frame. And then we have the position of point P we can write easily in the lowercase ijk frame. Okay. Let's think about a rotation matrix. Such that some rotation matrix could be a combination of rotations. R, some rotation matrix R is defined such that that is true. I'm going to use a little bit different notation for just a second. So this notation, kind of a vector matrix form to write these same things, right, where you have component by component, x, y, z in this case. We could also write this one, that's equivalent. If you're writing with the respect to the inertial frame, typically you will leave off the capital X, y, z, however. Well, what I want to write, really, what I need to get to be able to write that second term, RP relative to O prime, in the inertial frame coordinate system. That's the only way I can add these two, well, one of two ways I can add these two guys. I have to get them in the same frame, so I'm going to add them. Okay. So, what can I do? Well, I know from this, right? In that small frame, rotation matrix times this guy is the same thing in the big frame. So this total guy now, we have that. Okay. Key point to just show that is that this rotation matrix idea works on displacements, velocities, accelerations, all those kind of things, just as well that it works on the coordinate frame itself. So that's where some of the power that knowing those comes from, not just translating frames, but you can also, by knowing how the coordinate frame coordinate represent, you can flip an entire vector into the frame you desire. Okay. So that idea is going to come up right now when we actually talk about displacement. That was just kind of warm up. Okay. So I'm going to have to redraw this to have space to fit everything in the picture. Draw a nice big one of these guys. This guy, this figure will have a lot going on. That's his. Is he up there? Okay. Let's define some initial frame. Call that x, 0. Okay, so that's an initial frame. Within that frame, I have some point. I call p0 for the initial kind of position of that point. Okay. And of course, I can define some vectors describing that position. We're going to say R O prime relative to O initial. So this guy, this one outside the parentheses is O for initial or original. All right. We're going to have R P relative to O prime. And that's going to be original as well. We're going to have another frame. Use F, right? Yeah. ZF, YF. Some final location of that frame. Okay. Some final location of that point. So we kind of have two snapshots in time. We've got an initial location of this point, that we know relative to this frame, and the frame has an initial position. And we're going to have a final position of that frame and final position of the point relative to the frame. So two snapshots in time. And we're going to know O prime relative to O final. And we're going to know R of P relative to O prime final. I'm going to draw a couple more vectors. What's that represent? Yeah, just the change in position or displacement of point P. So we're going to do delta for displacement. And it is a vector. So we'll call that. Okay, let's do one more. Should have been a straight line. What's that guy?
Displacement of the origin?
Yeah, displacement of that kind of prime origin. Displacement, R O prime, right? Yeah, that's what we call it. R O prime. It's also a vector. Okay. With me so far from the kind of image, at least. We have two snapshots in time. Initial frame, point in space relative to that frame, sometime final later. Original and final, 0, O, and F. Okay. So what we really want to write is a vector. Well, we know that's just the difference between those two position vectors describing the point in space. Well, let's look at a few of these guys. Okay. I want to look first at the original position. What is that? RP with respect to O prime. Original? Sure. Okay. Let's use that kind of vector notation again quickly. O prime, Y, O prime. Match. And this matrix is going to have two subscripts, original, and it's in the x0, y0, 0, 0 frame. Right. And we left off the capital X, Y, Z from this guy, because he's in the fixed frame. So it's their original position, and it's these x, XP, YP, ZP describe it with respect to the X0, Y0, Z0 frame. That's what the second subscript there is. Okay. If you want to get that back, right, we need to write both of these guys in the same frame. How do we get from small X, Y0 back to IJK? in the general case. I think you're thinking in the right direction, right? So these might are not necessarily going to align. Right? If they align, then hey, K0 is aligned with capital K. That's not going to be the case in general. So there's some rotation matrix there. Right? So we also can write those. Rotation. Where that R0 is the original rotation matrix to go from IJK to X0, Y0, Z0. Yes?
Where are the XO prime, like XO prime, YO prime, what do those represent, the primes?
Sorry, let me draw those. O prime, original. That point is O prime final. Okay, so XO prime in this case would be the X component of this vector.
Gotcha.
And then YO prime is the Y component of that vector.
Got it.
And same thing for kind of XP, YP, ZP original, the X, Y, and Z components, IJK components of this guy. Same thing will hold true for the final. Okay. Well, the final position of that point follows a similar pattern. O prime, Y, O prime. Final. Plus a rotation matrix that describes the final rotation of that axis in the final location. Fine. So we just skip the intermediate steps there because we know it follows kind of the same pattern. So this is the relative location of that point in the small frame, and we need the rotation matrix to get it back in the same coordinates as the inertial frame. So let's write out delta RP again. Well, we know it's just this guy. Final. That's just the first term. So if you look at this term and that term, what are they with respect to our drawing? XO prime, YO prime, ZO prime, final minus XO prime, YO prime, ZO prime, original. That's right. So this guy and that guy are just R O prime. Okay. All right. And then we just have the other couple terms there.
Same place relative to
no, not necessary. That's why we have the F and O.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I'm glad you asked that. Let's define another parameter. Well, let's kind of look at those too. Well, if we look at, just assume that this frame is fixed. One way to think about this is assume you're just standing at the origin of this frame. So you're standing at the origin of this frame, so it rotates, you're rotating along with it. Right? You're going to see some relative displacement of point P from this point to that point. I don't know what's happening in my frame. I'm standing on the Earth. We're spinning around a bunch of stuff. Right? I only know how you guys are moving relative to me. That's what's kind of going to go on here. Right? So if I look at these two terms, I'm going to define, hey, let's call delta R a point P in that small frame. So for now, ignore what's going on with my frame relative to the universe. Right? I'm just looking at how this point moved within the frame between these two snapshots. That's just this guy. Okay. And I guess it's really just those two pieces. Okay. So if I take that, okay, I can also say then that as you might expect, my final location within the frame is equal to the initial location in the frame plus the displacement within the frame, my relative displacement. Okay, just give me 2 more minutes. We'll get to wrap this up. If I take this definition of the final thing and plug it in here, so I take this guy, substitute for that final position, we're going to get P is prime plus final delta R P the X, Y, and Z components of that relative displacement . Okay, for the final term you end up with P, P, Y, P, Z, P, okay. And there are a few intermediate steps that you guys can do the algebra as well as I can. But. Okay. So the reason I wanted to make sure we could just finish this off and ask you to stay kind of an extra minute, the clock's a couple minutes slow, is that there are going to be 3 components that contribute to the displacement of this point from one snapshot to the other. This guy. Just kind of the translation of the frame origin. Right? So that's one component that contributes to describing the displacement of point P to the other. Okay. This guy. Is the relative displacement within that moving frame. Right? So we're just writing the relative displacement in the I, J, K components and then using the rotation matrix to get it back to I, J, K, capital I, J, K. So the term is really just the relative displacement within the frame. It's what's the primary kind of physical contributor there to the motion. This guy, how the rotation of the frame changes from start to finish. So if you think about this from kind of a physical perspective, that should make some sense, right? The position change in my point, hey, I can write that as just the position change of the origin, plus how it changed within that frame, plus how that frame rotated. I think it makes some sense. So we have the math to support our intuition, I think, in that case. Okay. Questions? And what we'll see, and kind of why we go through this step, is that we can write the velocity of point P as similar terms that contribute to the total velocity of the point within a fixed frame. You can imagine as delta P shrinks towards zero and the time that it takes for that motion to occur shrinks towards zero, we have a velocity. Delta P becomes drp dt, the velocity. And we'll see that basically it's the velocity of the frame we have plus some velocity within the frame plus some rotational component resulting from the frame's rotation, the frame's angular velocity. That is what we will do on Thursday.